I'd like to turn to a question that a number of you asked either last week or 2 weeks ago, during Shear, after Shear, and that's a question of whether one can disagree with Chazal about non-halachic issues. In other words, do the Mefarshim, let's say the Rishonim, ever disagree with Chazal on Agadic issues, on Pshat issues, and the like? There are a number of statements by the Gaonim, we're not going to study them today, that do seem to indicate that it is okay to disagree with Chazal on non-halachic matters. Meaning to say, when it comes to halachic matters, we fully accept Chazal. Halacha is always as Chazal tell us. When it comes to agadic matters, then it is a different story. The reason the Gaonim make for this distinction is because they say that Chazal had a Mesorah on all halachic matters, on agadic matters, some of them are made up, and therefore, if they're not compelling, they could be disagreed with. That actually reflects a general view of the Gaonim in terms of the Mesorah not being lost at all, which is in and of itself a discussion, which perhaps we could return to another time. But there is some disagreement what the Gaonim actually meant. The Maharal understands these Gaonic statements in a different way, that they did not feel they could argue with Chazal. However, I don't want to focus on the perspective of the Gaonim today. Instead, I'd like to look at the perspective of the Rishonim, and especially the Ramban and the Rambam, insofar as that is really a hemshech of what we've been doing the last couple weeks in terms of considering the approach of the Ramban and the Rambam to explaining Chumash. So we'll start with the Ramban, since that's what we have been doing, and then we'll turn to the Rambam. And to do this, I think we'll just look at four different passages in Ramban that relate to this question, and then we'll do four passages in the Rambam that relate to this, and we'll try to extrapolate from these sources their general approach. So first, for the Ramban, we're going to use the same sheets for Ramban as we did last week. If anyone doesn't have one, I have more copies up here, so you can come up and get them. And turn to page 5. The first Ramban is Bamidbar Per Gimel Pasuk Aleph, top of page 5. So the Perek begins with a statement that says, these are the toldos of Aaron u'Moshe. The problem is that the Torah then goes on to enumerate only the toldos, only the descendants of Aaron, and not of Moshe. So what happened to Moshe's descendants? So Rashi quotes Chazal as saying that Aaron's descendants are the toldos of Moshe because he taught them Torah. Anyone who teaches someone Torah, it is as though they bore them. The Ramban thinks that this explanation is incorrect, and rather, the Toldos Moshe referred to later on in the Perek when it refers to Mishpachas HaAmrami, along with the other Levim. And this has to be a reference to the Toldos of Moshe, because there were no descendants of Aaron that were Levim. And therefore, it's a reference to the Toldos of Moshe. But then the Ramban tells us that there is actually textual basis for Rashi's explanation, for the Midrash's explanation. And if you take a look towards the middle, V'hadrash samchuhu mipnei shelo piresh ve'ele shmos b'nei Moshe kasher asa b'nei Aaron lirmos ki b'nei Aaron gam heim toldos l'moshe Mipnei Shalimdam Torah. So what does the Ramban say? The Drash Samchuhu, meaning to say there's a remez, as he says, Lirmos, there's a remez to the Pshat of the Medrash in the Pasuk. Why? Because if the correct Pshat was only what the Ramban said, namely, it's a the Toldos of Moshe comes up later in the Perek when it says Mishpachas Amrami, then it should say something like Elishmos b'nei Moshe, just like it says for B'nai Aaron, Be'elishmos B'nai Aaron. The fact that it doesn't is a remez to the drash. So Ramban basically tells us then that both explanations are correct, both explanations are true, because the Torah is mefaresh when it comes to pshat, and merames, it's tirmos, when it comes to drash. Like he says, ki ha-Torah tefaresh v'tirmos. So what Ramban here is telling us is that the drash, the medrash, is also rooted in the text in a serious way, meaning to say, if you study the text very carefully, you ask the right questions, you'll see that in fact the midrashic explanation is in fact rooted in a text, strongly rooted in a text. It's not the pshat. This diuk is not enough to justify Rashi's explanation on a level of pshat, but it is definitely conveyed by the Torah. And oftentimes Ramban points out that the midrashim deal with idiosyncrasies in a text and address questions that are not necessarily addressed on a level of pshat. On a level of pshat, we would ignore this particular idiosyncrasy, but on a level of drash, which pays very close attention to the words and word choice and formulation and the like, then we understand. And that's, I think, very common theme in many mefarshim, especially Ramban. Again, ki ha-Torah tefaresh v'tirmos. It communicates on multiple levels, tefaresh, pshat, tirmos, drash. The next example is also from Bamidbar Per Gimel. This is a little later. This is Pasuk Mem Hei. So the Pasuk indicates that the firstborns were sanctified in Mitzrayim until they were redeemed about a year later, as described in Bamidbar Per Gimel. Now, the Ramban wonders what was the nature of this sanctification that took place in Mitzrayim, and he says, we'll just take a look, Tachas kol b'chor b'vnei Yisrael, hinei ha-b'chorim niskad shilios l'shem me'es shetziva kadesh li kol b'chor b'vnei Yisrael ba'adam v'chulei. V'hayu b'chorim rabim b'Yisrael v'lo niftu adhena shadayin lo namar l'mi yiya. So the Bechorim were sanctified in Egypt. They were not yet redeemed until this point when God said they should be redeemed through Kohanim and Levim. Ki ata hu sheniskad shua Kohanim v'adayin lo nitztavu b'matnos kehuna v'inehem omdim b'kdushasam stam. So the explanation is that they were b'stam kedusha, sort of an unspecified Kedusha until this point, and at this point there would be a pidyon. The Yitachin Shahaisa Behen Avodas HaKorbanos Kedivei Ravoseinu. It's possible that they brought sacrifices, as Chazal have stated. So Ramban uses an interesting lashon here, Yitachin. Maybe, it's possible, it's conceivable. What exactly does he mean? Again, the Yitachin is like Chazal. Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara in Zvachim, among other places, that the Bechorim did the Avoda until they were replaced. So let's say the Avodas HaKarbanos at Har Sinai, who were the Makrivim? It was the Bechorim. Now, what does the Ramban mean when he says Yitachin? So I think there are three possibilities. Possibility A is perhaps Chazal were right. Perhaps they were wrong. Perhaps they were right. Possibility B, perhaps he means Yitachin, perhaps Chazal's explanation corresponds to the physical reality. This brings us back to our discussion 2 weeks ago. What actually happened? Maybe what actually happened was what Chazal say, that the Bechorim did the Avoda in the Sinai. Or possibility C is Chazal's understanding is possibly correct al pi drash, but al pi pshat, it's as I've said, just like we saw in the previous example. So which one is it? And obviously, these three possibilities have very significant implications. So, I think A is correct. Namely that, A is incorrect. A was, maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong. And B is incorrect. B is incorrect like we saw, even though that was an approach in a number of Rishonim that the Midrashim are reflect, the pshat reflects what really happened and not chazal. But we saw that wasn't the Bahalach the Rabban. I think possibility A is incorrect, and that's because in at least two other places, the Ramban actually does take for granted that the Avodah at Sinai was done by the Bechorim. That's in Bamidbar Tezayin, and Bamidbar and Shmos Parak Chav Dalet. Right over there it says, I'll just read you one of them, Shmos Chav Dalet. Hey, I didn't include it in your sheets. Narei B'nei Israel, Hema Bechoros Kedivrei Unkulos, Ki Hema Malim Ha'olos Vashlamim, V'lo Yadati Lama Yechana Bechoros B'lashon Narei, and he considers that question. And then he says, V'alderach HaPshat Narei B'nei Israel, Hem Bachurei Yisrael Shalotaymu Tamchet. So, that sounds like the third explanation. Like we just said before, in other words, the drash is correct, but it's not necessarily pshat. So v'yitachein means he's uncertain. Maybe this is the pshat, or maybe it's the drash. It's true either way, but maybe al pi pshat, it was the Bechorim who did the avoda at the Sinai until the Kohanim were niskachu, or maybe not. Okay, that's a possibility. That's an example two. Example three comes from Shmos, Perek Yud, Pasuk Vahey. The next one, again, on page 5 of your sheets. Here Moshe tells Paro that Paro should give sacrifices to the Jews when they leave Egypt. Gam ata titein biyadeinu zvachim v'olos. So, Ramban says this was meant rhetorically. In other words, even you are going to give us vachim va'olos when we leave. But it's not literal, it's not serious. It's not like Paro was actually going to give karbanos to Bnei Israel to take into the midbar and to slaughter. But Ramban notes that Chazal do understand this literally. Rashi cites that view as well. And Ramban rejects this explanation that they gave the Jewish people sacrifices, actual sacrifices. And what's interesting is he doesn't reject it on textual issues, but in other words, textually it's okay. Actually, that's what the pasuk sounds like it's saying. Gam ata titein biyadeinu zvachim v'olos. But rather, on theological grounds. In other words, it would be totally inappropriate for the Jewish people to accept the karbanos of the wicked Egyptians and offer it on their behalf. Now, what's significant is that over here, let's just read it together inside the last three lines. Rabuseinu amru, ki kasher dibartem, hu am amaram, gam atam titen biadenu zvachim v'olos. Which sounds like it actually happened, according to Chazal. Ulay ratzu lomar sheramaz lahem laseis kichol asher amru. So maybe it's a remez that that they would do it. Lo shelachu mimenu klal, but not that they actually did do it. In other words, that the Egyptians were so petrified after Makas Bechoros that they actually wanted to send sacrifices with the Jewish people, but not that that was actually done. Ozvachim v'olos lahem kedei shiyetu, but not as sacrifices to God. Lo lakriva melav, but after being miyashev the medrash, he concludes v'gam ze eino nachon. So I gave two yeshuvim for the medrash, but lemaisa, the medrash is wrong. So it does sound like, and there are other examples of this, they're pretty rare, but they do occur in Ramban, that the Ramban seems to say that the pshat is wrong. It doesn't sound like over here he's saying, well, it's wrong on a level of pshat, but it's correct on a level of drash, because his rejection isn't on textual grounds, it's on theological grounds, primarily. And therefore, it does seem like Ramban held, perhaps along the lines of the Gaonim, at least when it comes to non-halachic and questions of explaining psukim that perhaps they were wrong. Again, it's 100% mochrach, I'm not sure. I think I asked Rabbi Tursky once about this, and he thought that is the position of the Ramban, that you could argue if there's evidence. Yes, not you, but at least he could.
If Ramban rejects some midrashim, so then when he goes to town on the Ibn Ezra, for instance, when he rejects Chazal, is it an approach or just specific to that, that passage?
So maybe he thinks that he was too flippant. Maybe it's that particular case, it's not justified and the like. But apparently it's not a reflection of an absolute methodological objection. That's what it would seem, the Pashtus. The fourth source in Ramban is an interesting one. Also, perhaps questionable whether it is a good or not a good source for this, but it's very interesting. And that's the famous disputation that the Ramban had. The disputation of Barcelona took place on July 20th through 24th in 1263. It was held at the royal palace of King James I of Aragon in the presence of the king and his court and dignitaries and knights, between the Dominican friar Pablo Cristiani, who was a Meshumad, and the Ramban. And the Ramban wrote a transcription of the debate. The source that follows, beginning on the bottom of page 5, going on to page 6, is the Ramban's transcription. We have a different transcription as well. We have the Ramban's transcription. So, Chazar Pirei Pool, Frey Pool, that was the Meshumad, Vitan, Ki Betalmud Amru, Shekfar Ba Mashiach. So, one of the things that he tried to do was to show that even from within Jewish sources, there's evidence that Yeshu was Mashiach. So, he brought a proof in the Gemara. Ve'hevi osa gada shebemedrish echa, be'ahu gavra, dehu v'gaas torase, avar chad aravi, v'amer lei, bar yudai, shari torascha, shari padencha, shari kankancha, discharev beis hamikdash, shari torase, shari pande, shari kankane, Gazman Taninis Amr Lei Asur Tarascha Asur Badencha Asur Kankancha Disyaled Meshichichon. Basically, the Medrash says that your Mashiach was born in the wake of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mashiach was born. Ve'a'an ve'omer. So I, Ramban, responded, Eini ma'amin ba'gadazo klal. Aval raya hi ledvari. First of all, I don't believe in this agada at all. But if it's true, it's a raya to my position. So, azak oso aish. Ve'amar ru'u shehu makhish b'sfarm shalhem. So the Meshumet said, look, he's renouncing his own sacred books. He doesn't even believe in Chazal. Amarti, so I explained. Be'emes she'eni ma'min she'nolada Mashiach b'yom ha'chorban. I don't believe that the Mashiach was born on the day of the Beis HaMikdash's destruction. Ve'agada zos o she'en emes. So what about this medrash you cited? Either the medrash is not true, o she'esh lo perish acher mesisrei chachamim. Or perhaps there is a hidden, secret, perhaps mystical explanation as to what it means, but it should not be understood literally. Again, though he does seem to consider the possibility that it's Eino Emes. Avalakabel osake pashta kasher marta. But let's assume you're right, that it should be understood literally. Ki raya hili, it's still a raya for me. Hine hi omeres, ki b'yom achorban achareshe nechrav bo b'yom nolad Mashiach. It says that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Mashiach was born. So if so, Yeshu can't be the Mashiach, because he lived well before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So even l'shitaschem, this is a lousy raya. And then, Chazer osu ish ve'amar, ki betalmud mefurish Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, shal aliyahu masayev o'mashiach, v'hu anau. So, shal o'mashiach atzmo, v'heichan hu, bepesach de Roma, ben hacholim, halach shamu matzal, v'shalo, imkein kfar ba, v'hu beroma. So another Gemara, that tells us that the Mashiach was in Rome among the sick people. Anisi lo thalo mefurish mikan shaloba shavei shal Eliyahu masayavo. Another raya, even l'shitascha doesn't work, because he asked, Rabbi Shua ben Levi asked Eliyahu, when is Mashiach going to come, implying that it hadn't come yet. V'chein shal elav ba'atzmo masay asimar. He went and he asked Mashiach, when are you coming? Again, indicating that Mashiach had not yet come. Im kein lo badai, aval nolad kefi pshute elu agados ve'eni ma'amin b'kach. It is true that according to the pshuto of those hagados, the literal understanding, he was born, but again, I don't believe this. So kamti v'omer, shimu amim kulam, pari pul, sha'alani im karba Mashiach, she'dibru bo nevi'im, v'amarti shelo ba, ve'evi sefer agados she'amar bo, ki biyom shachar of beis hamikdash bo biyom nolad, v'amarti ani she'eni ma'amin b'zeh. And then the Ramban explains, how is it that I could just reject a medrash? How could I say, Eini ma'amin b'zeh? It is a medrash, it's in Chazal. So he explains, no, anachnu yesh lanu shlosha minim shel sfarim. We, the Jewish people, have three types of books. Ha'achad, hu ha'bavliya, the Biblia, I don't know, Bible. So the first is Bible, v'kulanu ma'aminim bo emunah shlema. Certainly we believe in the Bible 100%. Vasheni hu anikra Talmud. The second is Talmud. Vu perish lemitzvos haTorah. The Talmud is a explanation of the Torah's mitzvos. That's how we know what to do. Ki b'Torah yesh tayag mitzvos ve'en ba achas shelo nisparsha b'Talmud. Vanachnu ma'aminim bo b'perish haMitzvos. And we totally believe on the Talmud in terms of its explanation of the mitzvos. Od yeshanu sefer shlishi, hanikra medrash. We have a third type of sefer. It doesn't mean a book, meaning to say medrash is in the Gemara as well. We referred back earlier to the Gaonic period, the Gaonic view. Some of the Gaonim were machalik, actually, between Agada that's in the Gemara, which is more authoritative, and Agada that is not in the Gemara, which is less authoritative. Most Rishonim didn't accept that, but you find that as well. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a third type of literature, and that is Medrash. Rota Lomar, Sermonis, sermons. Kimo, She'im Yamod HaHegmon, Viasa sermon, right? The Hegmon gets up, he gives a sermon. So, I don't know if you guys are taking homiletics yet, but you know that there's certain homiletic licenses that rabbis sometimes avail themselves to in terms of giving sermons, the message you want to convey, and maybe you read certain sources to support your medrash. The achad min ha-shom'im haya tov be'ena v'kasvo. So what happened? The rabbis gave sermons, and some people liked the idea, so they wrote them down, and this was the medrash. V'zeh sefer, when it comes to this, mi sheyamin bo tov, umi shelo yamin bo lo yazik. If you believe in it, good. If you don't believe in it, there's no harm. And that is why I am willing to say eini ma'amin about this particular medrash or the like. So, seemingly, the Ramban here is again accepting the view that we mentioned before, the simple reading of the Gaonim, that Agada isn't binding, at least not in the same way that Halacha is binding. The question about this source, this fourth Ramban, is whether Ramban really believed what he was saying, or was he saying this simply to defend the faith? Remember, these debates were not good for the Jews. The Ramban himself, though he was granted the license to be honest, was eventually forced to flee Spain because of his participation, though he was allowed to live. In many of the later debates, we were not given such good terms. And perhaps he felt that Agada is authoritative, but any explanation that he would have given for such passages would not have been accepted by those he was debating, And therefore, he figured better to dismiss the statements than to explain what he truly felt that they meant. In other words, there isn't, when Chazal said Mashiach was born when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, maybe there's a truth to that statement, and the Ramban fully accepted that. But to explain what it meant, that's something that wouldn't have been accepted by then. It's interesting. One of the issues that came up in the debate is how to understand the famous Nevuah Yeshayahu of Yaskil Avdi. So they said that's a reference to Mashiach. If you ever see Christian missionary material, that's their favorite one. They love Yeshayahu especially, and especially that parak. So of course he was asked. So he says no. That those psukim, he follows the approach of Rashi and most of the Mefarshim and the Rishonim, is referring to Klal Yisrael in general. It's not referring to Mashiach. He said though there are certain Chazals, the Gemara in Sanhedrin among other places, that do assume the pasuk is talking about Mashiach. He says that I'll explain what that means another time. And he wrote something. It's printed in Kisvei Ramban. It's called Kuntras Yaskil Avdi, where he explains what Chazal meant. He thinks that the pshat is actually, it's referring to Bnei Yisrael. It's not referring to Mashiach, but he explains what it means. So perhaps along similar lines, Ramban did really believe in these midrashim, but he didn't think that this was the appropriate venue to explain them. So there's really a debate among scholars and chachamim what the Ramban meant here. There was an article I read on this by Rav Ari Yitzchak Shevet, who said that for centuries already, this question of what the Ramban meant has been debated, and three schools of thought emerge. Some claim that Ramban's statements don't reflect what he truly believed. Rav Mordechai Alisberg, which is quoted in a footnote in the Chevelle edition, page 308, says, Barur davar she'ilu advarim she'amran haramban b'fiv bitlan b'libo. She'amran b'fiv bitlan b'libo. Barur she'ilu advarim nasnu makom l'kali hadas l'bli l'hamin l'chol devei agadav ha'midrashim. U'v'chol ze lochash l'chol ze klal b'roso es atzmo nilchatz l'man hatzalas kol hadas. The Ramban here did something that he wouldn't ordinarily do to save Klal Yisrael. He basically said something that isn't true. I think this is more or less the view of Rabbi Dr. Yitzchak Twersky, Rav Twersky's father, who writes that generally, if you look at the writings of Ramban, he shows how Midrashim show incredible depth, and therefore he wouldn't have been so dismissive. He didn't really mean what he said. It's an interesting question with respect to Ziyaf HaTorah, Neziyaf HaTorah, Yeharig Ve'al Yavor, and the like. Those who take this approach in Ramban apparently assume that the Ramban didn't agree to the Maharshal, and the Maharshal, of course, famously, based off of the Yerushalmi, said that Ziyaf HaTorah is Yeharig Ve'al Yavor. It's not clear we paskin like the Maharshal. The Moshe talks about it. The Jews self-censored their works for many, many centuries. But censoring might be a little different than this, which is an outright falsehood. But that's the first school of thought. The second school of thought says, no, we should take Ramban at his word. First of all, he publicized the debate and his record of the debate. And why would he have publicized a text that contains a major theological error? And moreover, Ramban expresses his position with a lot of vehemence, right? Eini ma'amin b'agadazu klal, or hagadazo eino emes. And I don't believe it. So this isn't definitive either. Could be that he thought that there was a value in having an accurate text that was published, an accurate transcription, especially because there was competing transcriptions that weren't accurate, and therefore it had to be accurate, so he had to publicize it, and there was value. The third view is a compromise position, where perhaps Ramban would distinguish between different types of midrashim. when he says he rejects midrashim, he's talking about what he calls sermons. That's not necessarily referring to all agadot. And therefore, there might be a difference in this respect. Perhaps the simplest solution is that the Ramban believes that all midrashim are true in the sense that they contain profound wisdom. But many midrashim, as he alludes to, should be understood allegorically or mystically, and certainly not in their plain sense. And what the Ramban here was saying was that these midrashim, in their plain sense, are utterly false, and I absolutely reject them. Does that mean that they were narishkeit? No. They contain something that does, in fact, convey profound wisdom. But on the literal level, which is the context that they were being brought up in this debate, so they are eno ms, and that might be what he said. But as we saw, in fact, the Ramban does, in his Perush Al Chumash, sometimes even about midrashim, say things like eno nachum. Okay, so that's Ramban. Yes.
But the way Rabbi Meir Blank was quoting the Ramban, he said that either I don't lomamim lezek klal, or it's like a remez lasot.
Right.
So the way this third school of thought, it seems to be saying that it's like combining those two things.
Yeah, enachinami. Okay. So now for the Rambam. So last week we quoted the Rambam in his Hakdamah to Perek HaChelek and Mor Nevuchim, that basically said when you find a medrash that's problematic for scientific reasons or philosophical reasons or other reasons, so then you shouldn't just take it literally. That's foolish. You shouldn't dismiss it. That's also foolish, because Chazal do convey incredible wisdom, but rather you should understand that there's something deeper going on here. And if you could explain the Medrash as such, then great. And if not, so then you should say, look, there's something profound here. I just don't know what it's saying. You want to pass out these resources? Okay, oh, I need one. Thank you. So Rambam is saying that Chazal do contain very profound wisdom, but this wisdom cannot always be understood easily or simply. And for Rambam, this question is particularly important because one could have seen his approach, his philosophical worldview, as largely stemming from sources that are outside of the Torah and at odds with Chazal. And the Rambam, as we discussed earlier in the year, certainly did not think this was true. He felt that his perspectives come from Chazal and are Torah-based, though he definitely did study non-Jewish works, but they were accepted when they were true and consistent with the Torah. And the Rambam writes in a number of places that it's important to understand that Midrashim allude to profound philosophical truths. Let's just give one example, your first source over here from Mor Nevuchim. V'stakel eich elu anyanim hamuflaim hamitiyim asher aleim higia iyun hameulim shebefilosofim mefuzarim b'midrashos. Pay attention to how these wondrous and fundamentally true matters which the greatest philosophers addressed are found scattered among the Midrashic texts. And the Rambam will often, especially when it comes to some of his most controversial philosophical positions, show how they are derived from or at least consistent with Chazal. And let's consider four examples very quickly. The Rambam's position in 354 concerning the superiority of intellectual achievements and knowledge of God over observance of Torah and mitzvos.
What's 354?
Chelak Gimel of Mor Nevuchim, chapter 54. So the Rambam writes, and this you have here in the next source, really comes from a veracious rabbah that says, Kasav Elu Omer V'chol Chafatzim Lo Yishvu Ba, Kasav Echad Omer V'chol Chafatzecha Lo Yishvu Ba, Chafetzim are mitzvos u'maisim tovim, Chafatzecha are avanim tovim u'margolios, Rav Acha B'shem Rav Tanchum Bar Rabbi Chia, Chafatzi, Chafatzi v'chafatzecha lo yishvu ba. Ki im, pizos yisalal mishalal, haskel v'yadoa osi, ki ani Hashem osa chesed u'mishpat. So, the Pasuk talks about all the different things that a person might take pride in, glorify himself in, but it concludes, ki im pizos yisalal mishalal, haskel v'yadoa osi. Ultimately, it's yediyas Hashem. And this is greater than Torah and mitzvos and the like. In 326, the Rambam writes, very famously, that some of the mitzvos don't... all the mitzvos have reasons, some of the details of the mitzvos don't have reasons. And why are they there? To instill obedience. The Rambam, of course, this is one of the most controversial things in the Mor Nevuchim. Many thinkers said, absolutely not. Everything that Hashem said, including all the details, have reasons. But the Rambam seemed to deny that. And again, he quotes a Medrash to support him. The Medrash asks, the Chimach Vesla Kodesh Baruch Hu Shochet Min Atzav or Shochet Min Oref. Why would God care if you shecht from the front of the neck or the back of the neck? Doesn't really matter. Rather, mitzvos were nitnu letzaref es habrios. Mitzvos were given to purify mankind, which means that there's no reason for the detail of the mitzvah, how shechita has to be done, whether it's from the front or the back. But mitzvos are meant letzaref es habrios, and therefore, even though mitzvos in general have reason, sometimes the details don't. The Rambam actually there goes on to say that particular example, he thinks there is a reason. It's the reason why shechita is from the front of the neck is because it causes less pain to the animal in dying. But fundamentally, he says, you see here, Chazal are telling us that details of the mitzvot don't have reasons. Again, that might not be the only way to read that medrash. Ramban is a different explanation. But the Rambam, again, shows how his very controversial statement is found in Chazal. Number three, Rambam's cosmological theory that he expresses in 2:10, that matters in the world are affected by a chain of causation that's rooted in the celestial spheres, is from Bereishis Rabba. You have that again right here, right below. Amar Rav Simon, Ein lecha kol esav esav she'ein lo mazel berakia shemake oso ve'omer lo gadel. He does. So, what is a mazel? Sounds like there's a mazel in Rekia, like the celestial beings, the stars, or the like, and those are associated through a chain of causation down to the earth that affects every blade of grass and the growth of every blade of grass. So, all of the causation is ultimately rooted in God's free will. And take a look over there. The Rambam explains this in 2:10 and 2:48 and other places. Again, based off of Chazal. Fourth example, the Rambam maintains that Olam Haba is a non-material existence. There's no guf. And again, that too is very controversial. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah says that you could see this from the Gemara when describing Olam Haba. It says, Tzadik, there's no achila, there's no shtia, tzadikim yoshen v'atosen v'oshen v'nenem v'ziv ashchina. So clearly there's no body. Otherwise, and that's what Chazar is saying, there's no achila, there's no shtia. And what does it mean, tzadikim yoshen v'atosen v'roshehen? Why the rosh? Because it reflects the intellect that exists eternally, not the body. So here we have a number of examples where, again, the Rambam shows that his positions in Mor Nevuchim really do come from Chazal. Now, there are cases, however, where the Rambam acknowledges that there are times that his position does seem to disagree with Chazal. So what does the Rambam do about those? Does Rambam simply say Chazal were wrong? So the Rambam does a very interesting thing. And we'll see four examples of this. We're into the number four today. The Rambam argues that he is not rejecting Chazal. And the views, the statements in Chazal that seem to contradict his theory reflect a minority view. But in fact, the majority view is consistent with what he's saying. Now, parenthetically, you could say, a contemporary thinker said, you see from here that the Rambam maintains that you follow Rov even when it comes to non-halachic matters, because he talks about majority and minority and the like. I don't think that's a correct reading of the Rambam. I understand where you could get that from, because we'll see the Rambam in all four of these cases does not actually show that there's a majority position. This is the majority position. But, well, let's see what he actually does. But I think you'll see it's not Rove in the classical sense of Divrei Halacha, where we take a vote and we follow the majority. It's true, we have statements like Nimnu Begamru, even by Agada, like with respect to whether the world should be created or not. But I think the Rambam understands that means something else. So let's look at four examples. And each of these four examples were examples that the Rambam was criticized for, but I think what's important is to understand what he did with it. So the first example is the question as to whether the world will be destroyed. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Amr of Katina, Shis Alte, Shane Havu Alma, V'chad Charov, Shinemar, V'nizgav Hashem Levado Bayomahu. So the world will be destroyed after the 6,000 years. And it's proven from the Pasuk, V'nizgav Hashem Levado, God alone will rule, meaning to say there'll be nothing else because the world will be destroyed. The Rambam in 229 says that this position is not the only view. He writes, it is the saying of an individual that corresponds to a certain manner of thinking. Meaning to say, it's a das yachid, we don't accept it. The Rash ben Shuvos says, Ma pitom, ein anu ro'im b'tomlut cholek alav. It's a das yachid, well, where's the machlokas? Nobody disagrees. It's like in Shulchan Aruch sometimes. Shulchan Aruch will say, Yesh mi she'omer. There's no one disagrees with it. So when you learn Shulchan Aruch, you talk about what that means. But what does the Rambam mean here? And that's why the Rashba rejects what the Rambam is doing. There could actually be a position, some have argued that it's Rabbi Nechemyan, Rosh Hashanah Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, who does seem to disagree, though that depends on how you learn it. But I don't think that's what the Rambam is doing here. The Rambam rather believes that it's wrong, and he actually quotes a number of psukim that say it's wrong, mostly from Koheles. There's nothing new under the sun in Parak Aleph, Pasuk Tes, in Parak Gimel, Pasuk Yodalid, whatever Hashem does, it will be forever, nothing's added, nothing's detracted, as well as philosophical arguments. But he quotes a number of psukim that clearly say against this opinion. Ha'aretz li'olam omedes. Li'olam omedes sounds like the world will not be destroyed. Example number two. Why do we send away the mother bird? So, the Rashba's challenge to the Rambam about the world's destruction is parallel to the Maharal's challenge to the Rambam about Shiluach HaKein. Famously, the Mishnah says, Omer al kan tzipor yagiu rachamecha mishaskin oso. Someone who praises God and says, look how merciful God is, that his mercies extend even to the bird that has to be sent away, so we silence him. And the Gemara says in one explanation that this is because mipnei she'osa midosav shal kodesh baruch hu rachamim de'enam el gzeros. Sounds like the reason for this mitzvah is not because of the compassion for the animal, but rather it's a gzeira. So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim 3:48 says that actually the purpose of the mitzvah is in fact to prevent pain to the animal. Aye, what about the Gemara? Says the Rambam. It is the expression of one of the two opinions mentioned by us, namely that the precepts of the law have no other reason but divine will. We follow the other opinion. In other words, the Rambam writes that there was a debate in Chazal whether mitzvos have reasons or don't have reasons. We accept the position that mitzvos have reasons. Again, maybe some details don't, but fundamentally mitzvos have reasons. And this Mishnah reflects the opinion that mitzvos don't have reasons. And the reason why I'm rejecting this Mishnah is because it's a das yachid. Now, here too, the Maharal makes the same critique. The Maharal writes that we don't find any machlokas. This is in Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Vav. There's no one in Chazal that disagrees. You can't just say that an opinion that you don't like is a das yachid, because you don't like it. You have to find, if you want to call it a das yachid, so you have to show there's a machlokas. Parenthetically, it is interesting because the Rambam does pask in the Mishnah in Mishnah Torah, but you could say that's different because the context there is adding to Shmona Esrei, and maybe the Tosfos Yontif makes this point, praising Hashem and incorporating Tamei HaMitzvos into Shmona Esrei is inappropriate. Doesn't mean that it's wrong. The problem, of course, then is that Mor Nevuchim would be contradicting Mishneh Torah. In Mor Nevuchim, he says it's a das yachid. Here he's saying it's the halacha, it's just a different pshat. Another time we could talk about that. But that's the next example. Example number three. I'm going to try to get through these. I see there's a bunch of questions. I'll take the questions afterwards. Example number three. Yisurin shel Ava. Does God ever punish a person in order to increase their reward? So the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim 3:17. Again, you have it here on your sources. As for us, I'll just read it in English, we believe that all human circumstances are according to what is deserved, that he is exalted and above injustice, and that among us only those deserving punishment are punished. We referred to this a couple weeks ago. The Rambam maintains that when people suffer, so it's because they deserve it. This is what is stated literally in the Torah of Moshe, namely that everything is a consequent upon what that which is deserved. And the multitude of our scholars, meaning most of the Chachamim, also agree with this. For you will find them saying explicitly, "Ein misa b'lo chet," and there's no Yisurin without Avon. However, in the discourse of the sages, there occurs something additional over and above what is found in the text of the Torah. In other words, this opinion is not found in the text of the Torah, but it is found in some opinion in Chazal, namely the dictum of some of them, so this is like a minority opinion, regarding the sufferings of loves, Yisurin Sha'ava. For according to this opinion, sometimes misfortunes befall an individual not because of having sinned, but in order to reward, that his reward should be greater. And the Rambam basically rejects this view. He says it's incorrect. And again, a das yachid, or minority opinion. That's not the only explanation of what Yisurin shel Ava means. The Ramban, for example, writes that we definitely reject that notion that God punishes people just to give them reward. Yisurin shel Ava means something else, but I guess not for now. Finally, example number four, astrology. So this is an interesting one. The Rambam absolutely rejected the notion of astrology. He wrote a letter to the Jews of Montpellier, and he rejects the notion of astrology there unequivocally. But he notes that there are sources in Chazal that refer to mazalos and the like, and do seem to imply that there is such a thing as astrology. So he writes, we'll just read the English again on page 2 of what you got today. Our opinion is that the perspective of the astrologers is false. I know it's possible to search and find statements from individual sages in the Talmud and Mishnah and Medrash whose statements imply that things that happen to a person were caused by the stars. don't let this trouble you, for it's not the proper path to abandon practical halach in favor of distortions. And so too, it's worthy for a person to reject, it's not worthy for a person to reject knowledgeable statements whose supporting evidence has already been proven true, to wipe his hands of them and depend exclusively on the statements of only one of the sages. In other words, again, this view is a das yachid, for it's possible that individuals can make mistakes, or that these statements were intended to be a subtle hint, or he said them in response to specific constrained circumstances and situations that occurred. Rambam basically says there's three ways how to deal with these statements. Either they are wrong and the minority of view, or they have some type of esoteric explanation, like we saw in the Ramban, or finally, they were stated because it was a shas hadchak, and they said that for whatever reason, but they didn't really believe in them themselves. That's an interesting point we'll have to return to later. The Rambam claims that Sadia Gaon did that also about the Cates. He might have done that about the Cates, but that's another discussion. Okay, so here we have four examples where the Rambam writes that statements in Chazal seem to go against him. And in each of the four cases, he says that it's a minority view. So, what's going on here? So you can say that this is like Dechia Bekash. You know, he didn't really think these were right, but he didn't want to say they're wrong. So, B'derech Kavod, he said, it's a Das Yachid. But I don't think so. In each of these four cases, he goes ahead and takes lengths to show that the general approach of Torah is against this. In the case, we go through each of the four examples. So, example number one was, will the world be destroyed? He quotes Psukim again and again that show it's not true. Haaretz le'olam omedes. He shows how logically this can't be true, because it would imply that somehow or another God is imperfect and therefore created something that needed to be destroyed due to its lack of perfection. And therefore, what he tries to show is that when you look at the Torah and its message more broadly, it contradicts this idea. And therefore, it's a das yachid. That's what I was saying before. It's not like in halacha. In halacha, if you want to say something's a das yachid, you have to show how the chachamim disagree. You can't just say, well, I don't like the view of Rabbi Eliezer, so he's a das yachid. No, you have to show. Find a Mishnah or a Brisa that says the chachamim are cholik. But when it comes to agadic matters, so what the Rambam does is, if he could show you, broadly speaking, the message of the Torah is against this, he's saying you shouldn't be misyaches to this one makor that goes against the Torah's broader message. And if I can't explain it to you in a way that is consistent with the Torah's broader message, so I'll say, okay, it's a machlokas, it's a das yachid. It's not the view that we accept. Likewise, with respect to Shiluach HaKein. So, there's so many sources in Chazal, where Chazal gives reasons for mitzvos. Lama nida asur l'shiva, kadei shaloya baila katzba, and so many other examples. So, if in fact it is the case that this one source is telling us that mitzvos are gzeros, so we'll say, okay, it's a das yachid, because it's against the broader message. Likewise, there's the Torah is full of messages. He quotes Psukim, right, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's being just. Tzadiku! And to say that, oh, he just punishes people to increase their reward is unjust. It's unjust, it's unfair, it doesn't make sense. So again, if we can't explain it, we'll say it's a das yachid. It's not the broader general approach of Torah and Chazal. And finally, likewise with respect to astrology. So astrology says it's wrong because it's unjust, it's against the notion in the Torah of justice and hashkacha and the like. Now, I believe that these Rambams are telling us a very important approach. Because a lot of times you will see someone that argues for a particular position that they see as correct, contemporary position and the like, and they'll quote a medrash that supports what they're saying. So what are you supposed to do in that case? So what the Rambam tells us is that it's very important to look and understand the Torah broadly. And there are times that you'll find midrashim that are problematic. And when you see such midrashim, you have to understand that these midrashim are either to be understood esoterically, like we saw at the beginning, or that they present a das yachid, as we're seeing here. But you shouldn't overturn what seems to be the broader message of the Torah and then Chazal just because of one statement, or even a couple of statements, that seem to be supporting a particular view. Okay, so we'll stop. Yes, some questions.
Is this a general view of, we could say this like a normative view of the Rishonim, meaning once we're seeing this in the Chazal, so now we could say that this is the normative approach of Rishonim, and we use this actually against the Rambam in the sense that...
In some of the examples, it happens to be that probably the majority view among the Rishonim is against the Rambam, and they disagreed with the Rambam. Okay, like we saw the Rashba, in terms of the world's destruction, most Rishonim assume that there's no guf and olam, all sorts of things of this nature. But the question really is, you know, how do you deal with Chazal in general? And there might be a machlokas Rishonim, what the majority view is among Chazal. That's certainly possible. We have lots of machlokas Rishonim. And we could talk about how you deal with the machlokas Rishonim in terms of Elu V'Elu and the like. But the point is that, in a sense, all of this reflects a respect for Chazal, not a dismissiveness towards Chazal. Yes?
Maybe more of a side point. It's not about Gada in general. Why was the Rambam comfortable in saying that details of mitzvahs had no meaning, but the mitzvahs themselves, Gada needed to have meaning, and they couldn't just be there for obedience?
Okay, we could talk about that. Maybe next Zman we'll do some of the requests. So we could do Tamei HaMitzvos. Others ask for Hashgacha. Also came up today. So maybe, I think that's a broader conversation. Okay, so stop here. Don't forget, again, next week is 9:30, again, as you requested. And then in 2 weeks, on the 30th, is the Bechina. If you can't make the Bechina, let me know. Have a good Shabbos. Those, you were here last week?
Yeah.
So we said we were meeting 9:30.
Hi.
Sorry. I apologize. It was 9:30.